Oh gosh, that is really loud. It wasn't this loud when I was talking about it at home. So, if you would, I'd like you to turn to Colossians very quickly. There's a few things that we want to look at, and you know, we're going to change things around just a little bit from what I had actually planned. But we are going to read the scripture verse, and I'm going to read a couple others, and then I have a couple of questions for you. I'm just moved by some of these songs today, and some of them are familiar to you. But you know, just you get into at a point where they just have a different meaning to you at certain times, and so I want to take a time to share a few things rather than necessarily go through scripture. But Colossians chapter 3, and I've been thinking about this verse for a long time, and I was talking to Ben. I was telling him, you know, I was gonna be teaching this Sunday, and he said, you know, I've been looking at Colossians chapter 3. And I said, you know, I've been looking at that. And so since two of us agreed that Colossians 3 would be good to teach on, I had him write it, and then I am going to deliver it. So, or as he would say, I'm going to unpack a few verses for you. Colossians chapter 3, and looking at verse 12 through 17. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We come before you with grateful hearts for the opportunity to share in song, to share your word. We love you, Lord, and we are so grateful for the love that you have bestowed upon us, for the blessings, for the way you teach us, for the way you just mold us and transform us into the image of your Son. We are so grateful. And Father, we confess those times when we do grumble or when we complain and we forget that it is you that are in control, that you are sovereign, that you are righteous, then everything you do is right. And we love you for that, Lord. That is at the core, even though we don't act it all the time, that is at the core of what we want to be. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I just want to start off by saying, you know, it was a great story by, you know, Kenny, and you know, many of us read about that story, may not have known it was Kenny at the time, and you know, we heard on KSRM News, and just are so grateful that that wasn't more serious. In 2000, our son Mark was driving to Clam Gulch. I guess he was driving to Nilchik, and right around Clam Gulch, he went off the road and knocked over a telephone pole and turned and, you know, upside down and landed straight and kind of wakes up and he goes, whoa, I better get out of here, it might catch on fire and stuff. And he jumps out, one of those fortunate times. And we went and looked at the car afterwards. It was a minivan, Lumina, you know, just one of those vans. And how he didn't have a scratch, you know, and it's just amazing. I was in Anchorage, and Peggy was gone, and Ben calls me and says, yeah, you know, or he calls Ben, and he says, yeah, you might want to come and get me, and, you know, and so it was, yeah, just one of those miraculous times. And so in those cases, both of us were very fortunate. But I know I look out, and there's times when some of you have gone through things that you weren't quite so fortunate. You know, and yet at the same time, God is telling us to be thankful. So, you know, how do we do that? How does that happen? And so I just want to open this up just for a couple of minutes. And I want you to tell me some things that you are thankful for. Okay, we're going to go through, and at some point we'll have to stop, you know, off, let's say, okay, we can't go any further. It's, you know, it's 2 o'clock. We've got to stop this stuff. So if anybody, just a few people would just like to say, same kind of a testimony that I just had, that Kenny had. Just talk to us about what you're thankful for and grateful for. Oh, good, Mary.
Well, it sounds really arrogant, but I felt like I married up for 25 years. No, that Mike married up for 25 years or 30.
So we'll just go over very quickly, and we'll talk about gratefulness for just a second. If we look at these, at all of those characteristics that are listed there, we certainly see those in Jesus Christ. And if we wanted to go to a passage that really shared where all of those were shown, it would be with the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus shows kindness, he shows compassion, he forbears with those people that were trying to trick him up. He shows all of those characteristics. And then to the woman, he says, "Where are your accusers?" And she says, "Well, there are none." And then he says, "I forgive you. I forgive you. Go and sin no more." All of those characteristics are right there. And so there's a word that starts before all those characteristics, and it says, "Clothe yourselves." And that's a rich word. And in other places in Scripture, you'll see it's translated "put on." And I think in the New American Standard, it says put on these characteristics, basically. But it's a word that means to clothe yourselves. And, you know, none of us, I can't think of anybody here, I hope there's nobody here, that would think that they would come to this service naked, without clothes on. We all wear clothes. You know, and for whatever reason, we want to look nice, we want to hide something, whatever it is. But this is saying, clothe yourselves. This is what we want you to see. This is what we want you to see is Christ. And that's what he's saying, clothe yourself with those things. Nothing else matters. Clothe yourselves with these characteristics, kindness, compassion. This is what people need to see. Just as they saw it in the life of Jesus, they want to see it in our lives as well. But in those last three verses, how do we get to that point? We need to in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule. That word rule is a word that we get umpire from. And so it's let that peace make the decisions for you. Those of you that are involved in sports and stuff, you understand umpire's rule. You know, I mean, from the time we're 3 years old in sports, we recognize that we cannot argue with the umpire. We cannot touch an umpire. We cannot. Those guys are sacred in the world of sports. You put your hand on one, and you can kick out of the game. So, and it's that same thing. Let Christ rule. Let him be the umpire in all the decisions that we make. And then in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that word dwell, we've talked about that a lot in other places. It's translated continue, it's translated abide. Let it dwell in you abundantly. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, how is Christ ruling in the everyday situations that we find ourselves in? You know, we sing songs that God is sovereign, that God, you know, blessed be his name. You know, how is he ruling? How is he umpiring in the decisions and the situations that we find ourselves in on a daily basis and all of those things? Is the word of Christ dwelling in you richly? Do you really have a high view of Scripture? Because it's those two things that are going to get us through all the situations, the good times and the bad times as well. Allowing Christ to rule and allowing the word to dwell in us richly. And then it says in verse 15, at the end it says, and be thankful. In verse 16 it says, admonishing one another with all wisdom as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude. And then in verse 17 it says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, give thanks to God the Father. So in those three verses where it talks about letting Christ rule and letting the word dwell in you richly, it says to do all those things, the way you get through that is to be thankful, is to show gratitude. Gratefulness means being content before any gifts are given, or even if they are not given. It is breathing a silent thank you regardless of our circumstances. It is a hallelujah even when there is no guarantee or a blessing, no guarantee of a blessing. It's the confidence to accept whatever God brings. The confidence to accept whatever God brings. Gratefulness reminds us of all the gifts that we should not have been given, the friends we do not deserve, and the grace we did not earn. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, "In normal life, we hardly realize how much more we receive than we give. And life cannot be rich without such gratitude. It is so easy to overestimate the importance of our own achievements compared with what we owe to the help of others." So easy to overestimate the importance of our own achievements compared with what we owe to the help of others. There was a study done, it was a 10-year study, and it just shows how the gratitude, a decade-long study also found that people who have an attitude of gratitude are less likely to be depressed, earn more money, sleep more soundly, exercise more regularly, and have greater resistance to viral infections. Same with kids. Kids who feel and act grateful tend to be less materialistic, get better grades, set higher goals, complain of fewer headaches and stomach aches, and feel more satisfied with their friends, families, and schools. I don't know. I didn't check that study if that is the case. But I think that as we look at our lives and we think about when we're thankful, how things change it. When you say thank you to somebody, how that changes them. And look at a couple of verses, and we're gonna close. But I want you to go away thinking thankfulness. As soon as I find these verses, they're here. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God," okay, so they've got this creation that they're looking at. They could tell there was a God, okay? "Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. But they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." So Paul describes that universal sinful condition of all men outside of Christ. And he adds that there's that condemnation that goes with it. And it's because they didn't honor him and they didn't thank him. They didn't honor him, they didn't thank him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And we've talked about this before. We so often want to know the will of God in our lives, and we're perplexed by it. You know, we just don't, you know, do I marry this person? Do I go to this school? Do I buy this house? Do I live here? Do I go there? You know, and we want that will, and we're going, gosh, how am I going to find out? What is it going to be? And yet there are passages in Scripture that there is no question about God's will for our lives. And in Thessalonians, that's one of them. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God." There is no question about God's will in that particular area. Give thanks. That is God's will. If you're looking for God's will, there is where you can find it. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." And that's what we've been doing in song all morning, is we have been expressing our thanks to God in song. And he wants us to do that. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." I think that God is more concerned with hearts that are grateful than just about anything else. That's what he desires. He wants heart. He's concerned about the condition of your heart. Do you have a grateful heart? One more verse, I think. Well, just look at the passage we read today, Luke 17. You know, are you going to be in the group of nine? Or are you going to be in the group of one? I know that some of you have taken the Beth Moore, I think it was Beth Moore study, and she has that phrase in one of her studies. She said, be the one, be the one. Turn to the person next to you, be the one. You know, and I just it keeps going through my mind, you know, be the one. Be the one that is thankful, that has gratefulness in your heart. And what a great time of year to get that started. Thanksgiving's coming up, and then that whole season between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's a time for gratefulness and to be thankful. Couple of things, just real quick points. Unexpressed gratitude is like ingratitude. Unexpressed gratitude is like ingratitude. How many times have you thought, "Oh, I need to say thank you to this person," and we don't. We just don't do it, you know. Andy Stanley has a stack of cards on his desk, thank you cards, and it's one of the things that he has forced himself to do. He said it doesn't come naturally to him. It's nothing that he just would do kind of normally. He forces himself when he thinks of somebody to write a card and send it. And of course, you know, he's got, you know, 100 people working for him, and so he just puts it in a basket and it gets sent out. So it's real easy for him just to write, you know. Some of us don't have that, you know, we don't have that opportunity, you know, but we can still do that. You know, we can pick up a phone, we can send a text. It is so easy with the technology now to say thank you to people. So I encourage you to be grateful. You know, we have so much to be thankful for in the good and in the bad. The words thank you have just great power. It's impossible to stay mad or sad when you're being thankful. It's like praying for somebody. You know, it's very difficult to be really upset with somebody when you're praying for them. Very difficult. It can break depression. It can bring you out of a bad mood. It brings humility. It shows appreciation. But it's a deliberate choice that we make. To be grateful is a deliberate choice. It will not come naturally. Okay, it is a work of God. So just to close, Thanksgiving isn't a holiday to be observed, but it's a lifestyle to be practiced. Be grateful, give thanks, and when you're done, then do it again. Okay? When you're done, do it again. Be the one. Let's be grateful people. Let's be thankful people for all that God has given us. Because, if we go back to that first part in Colossians chapter 3, we are God's chosen people, we are holy, and we are dearly, dearly loved. That is God's promise to us. Let's be thankful for that and show that thankfulness to the people that we see. Father, we thank you for this time again. We do love you, Father. We want to be grateful people. You have given us so much. And you give and you take away, and yet we want to be the ones that call you blessed in every circumstance, in every situation. Father, help us in that. We know that it won't come naturally. It is a work of your Spirit in us to do that. But that is truly our desire this day and from this day forward. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.